David Artsman joins us now, former major league reliever, host of the Bullpen with DA podcast. David, what do you make of this American League wildcard race? It's ridiculous.
Well, thank you for having me on. But, yeah, you know, Donovan, right, you had a great case.
Yeah?
When you're looking at all this ahead of Toronto, the problem is who are they going to catch? Like, who do they have to beat? Yeah, they can beat Tampa Bay and New York and Baltimore, but they have to beat those guys. And then all the other teams are out of their division. So that's where it's really going to be a problem is they're not going to control a lot of their destiny.
Plus, they are without two starters. Like, Nick Tepish is already in the rotation, and they got a guy in Chris Rowley who's going to make his major league debut tomorrow, who spent a couple of years in the United States Army. He went to West Point. Hey, maybe he'll be lights out. But, yeah, you got big-time question marks. Plus, we've watched this team for now 113 games this season, David. Yeah, I think we have a pretty good sense that the Blue Jays aren't very good, but I guess crazy stuff can happen is the only reason for optimism.
I mean, what it is where the optimism is. It's not like you guys are sitting back and going, God, yeah, you might have a couple unknown, guys in the rotation, especially, was it tonight, going. But where it is the roster is still the same guys that you know and love and that you've always believed in, and that's why you still believe. It's not like you're dealing with, like, kind of like the Yankees right now, where it's like, God, you don't even know what half of these guys, three quarters of them, are even going to do. You're sitting there going, God, I'm expecting so much more out of every single guy because, you've watched the last 3 years. Ever since they made the trade for Tulo, it's pretty much been the same order outside of Encarnacion. So, man, you're like, God, when is it going to happen? If it does happen at some point, it's going to be beautiful. And they're going to be in a spot to really make some moves.
You mentioned them, watching them in relation to the Yankees, and that made me think, because going into that series, I was really looking forward to watching Aaron Judge work up close. But he's scuffling since the All-Star break, 27 straight games with a K. You understand how these things work as a former Major League Baseball pitcher. Can you figure a guy out and there'll be a book on a guy this early in his career?
No, without a doubt. And what it reminds me a lot of was 2013 with USL Puig. He came on the scene and he was just, it was crazy how good he was. But then the book started coming out where it's like, yeah, he looks big and imposing. He's right on the dish, but you have to pitch him in. And that opens up a way because everybody's trying to pitch him away. And that's what you kind of see, on Judge. I mean, major league pitchers are getting paid, too, to get guys out and to learn. And, every single team, if you're going to play him, 3 weeks in advance, they have a scout at that game. They have all the video. And so you have a whole lot of smart minds, a whole lot of smart people that have done only that for the last 15 years, studying and watching and seeing, hey, when he gets beat exactly like this. When a right-handed reliever comes in, this is what they do, and this is how they get him out. And you just, over time, it's going to come back to the norm. And that's the key, though. Like, good hitters will see that what the pitchers are doing and start to adjust back. And that's what you see good hitters do, and that's what you'll find out where Judge's career is going to go if he makes that adjustment.
Hey, David, I remember you as a Mariner. I mean, you spent some time with the Red Sox as well, and then Blue Jays minor league system. As a guy who's retired from the game, do you have a rooting interest in any of these teams, or you just watch it from a distance?
Well, first, I'm not retired yet.
Okay, sorry. I spoke too soon. You got your own podcast. You're coming back.
I'm coming back. No, I'm playing some independent baseball right now in the Atlantic League for the Long Island Ducks. So I'm still playing. I mean, heck, we've got two All-Stars on our team. Henderson Alvarez.
Hey, former Jay.
Yeah, man. We there's a lot of talent, so I'm still playing here at a high level, and so I'm not quite done yet. I don't even remember the question.
Do you have a rooting interest when you watch baseball?
yes, I grew up a big Cubs fan, so in the back of my heart, deep down in my heart, I'm still like a Cubs fan. But baseball is a business, and getting traded and being on 14 different teams. It kind of comes out to, you kind of root for teammates, you root for guys that but if there was if there's one, kind of sleeper team I always kind of root for, it's the Mariners. Has to be.
Okay, give me the scouting report on what Henderson Alvarez looks like right now, because we know he went through some injury issues. He had some really nice moments as a Blue Jay. Throws hard, but he was a guy that got ground balls, had the no-hitter with the Marlins. What's he look like now?
Right now, he's actually looking pretty good. He's been averaging about 6 innings his last couple outings. I think he went 5 his last outing, but situational-wise, we had a lot of guys that needed a pitch, so we took them out. But we got him and Alfredo Simon down here, too. But they both look really good. Henderson looks great, man. Like, I can't imagine he'll be here much longer because his fastball's got that good life on it. His curveball has got great action. He's throwing that, like, Ethos curveball.
Yeah.
And it is so much fun to watch hitters react to that. To see just their look in their eye, like they're just so defeated when that thing pops in, like right down the middle of the zone. But he looks good. They both look really good.
Yeah, so how many of those guys that you're playing with in independent ball have dreams of getting back to the major leagues or getting to the major leagues? Because we've seen it before. Hey, we had a pretty good story in Chris Colabello a couple of years ago. We know that kind of went off the rails last season. But how many of those guys really think that they can hack it at the major leagues?
I think there was a one point on our roster we had 22 players that were either AAA or big leagues, and of those 22, I think like 15 of them were big league players. So we've got, I mean, the talent in this league is ridiculous. And I always compare it to, it's AAA, but without like the prospects, without the Corey Seegers of the world and the Bellingers. And so, I mean, you're seeing a lot of guys have a lot of talent. I mean, there's also guys that have been indie ball guys forever, just never really got that chance. So I would say out of like a 25-man roster, you're looking at probably 15 to 20 that are realistically have chances to go back to the big leagues.
A guy in this market who's going to get his chance in the big leagues is Chris Rowley. Makes his debut on Saturday, 26-year-old who served 2 years in the U.S. Army. Real good story. When he takes the mound on Saturday in front of a big crowd, mentally, what should he kind of be thinking at and focusing on?
Well, mentally what he should be focusing on and mentally what he will be focusing on are probably two completely opposite things.
Right.
You know, obviously, you kind of gave me a little bit of backstory. Being from the Army, West Point, you know, cadet, man, that's amazing. That's awesome. And that's a whole other route that very few people have ever done. I played with, Mitch or Harris with the Cardinals, and he was Navy. Mm-hmm. Went through the Naval Academy. That was a pretty cool story. But you're going to have so much nerves, especially warming up. That's where it's going to hit you the most. When you're out in that bullpen and it's finally really hitting you and people are right there, and the atmosphere is so different warming up. But once you make that first pitch, everything goes out the window, and it's back to the real, realistic what you've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. So as a catcher, especially having Russ there, will help out a lot. And such a veteran group of guys around him that are young but still veteran guys, let him know, hey, focus on your game plan, focus on what you're going to do to the hitters, and let Russell lead you the way, or let whoever's going to catch you lead you the way and just follow them. And that'll take a lot of that stress off him, because when you start trying to put all those factors together, the crowd, the team, while you're actually facing probably some of your idols, you can, and your family in the stands, your brain can get going. So when that first pitch comes, it's, Russ just got to say, hey, man, I'll guide you. Just follow me.
Talking to David Ards, my former reliever in the Blue Jay system, host of the Bullpen with DA podcast. Let's bring it back to the American League as a whole. Wild card chase, like, I don't know how you handicap that thing. There's so many teams involved, and everybody kind of seems around the same talent level. What about the divisional races? Two of them still are a race, because the Astros lead the Mariners by 13 games out west, but in the American League East, the Red Sox and Yankees about to start a weekend series, and the rivalry's kind of renewed. The Yankees are ahead of schedule. They're four and a half games back of Boston. Have the Red Sox created enough separation? Are they good enough that the idea of those two going neck and neck down to the end of the season, probably not realistic, that the Red Sox are just better?
I think there's no doubt. I think man for man, the Red Sox are built better. They're built to win, especially that rotation is so strong, even without Price. It's crazy how good that rotation is. The bullpen's strong also. Now, you could see them coming together as a team. They're picking each other up. One guy's getting in a funk, that another one isn't. And that's what you're not seeing with the Yankees. You're seeing the Yankees basically each man for man not picking each other up. Plus, the Yankees, when you look at their next schedule, yeah, I can say they control their destiny, but in essence, everybody else controls their destiny because they're playing, the Red Sox. They have 9 more games against the Red Sox, and 6 of them are in the next week or 2 weeks. And they're playing, yeah, they get Detroit in there, but they also get Cleveland. I believe they're playing Houston, too. I believe so. But they're playing, essentially, their next 20 games, 30 games is a circus. Mm-hmm. It's going to be extremely, extremely difficult, especially where that team is going right now. I had the in April 1st, I picked the Yankees and the Mariners to be winning, to be the wild card teams. But, man, we're going to have to see a lot more out of the Yankees for them to we're going to see a lot more consistency out of the Yankees for them to even step up and be to really be in this, because there's some teams right on their heels, and the Yankees are not playing like it.
Yeah, they were 0-9 with runners in scoring position, I want to say, yesterday, in that 4-0 loss to the Blue Jays. The Dodgers are ridiculous, David. I know you had Justin Turner on the podcast, who's going to get some MVP votes this year. His season also ridiculous. Have you ever seen a team as good as that Dodgers team? I mean, and how much does that mean headed towards the playoffs? Because they clinched their division seemingly months ago. That's the team everybody's looking to win it all this year. That's kind of a tough place to be in going into the postseason.
It's a place that I don't know if you just want to be in. I don't know if you want to be cruising into the playoffs so easily, right? I know the Cubs obviously just destroyed everybody last year, and you know how rare that is really this day and age. But you don't want to be going in and not having facing adversity. You want it, you know, you really look at teams that won the World Series and made a really good solid run. Right before that, they had a time where they had to figure out who they were, and they battled through it and then hit their stride right at playoff time. They're not very few teams are really hitting their stride in July and August like the Dodgers are. But at the end of the day, when you look at this roster, you say, man for man, they are just killing everybody. They're beating people every single which way. And, you know, they got guys on the base paths. They're hitting bombs. Their pitching is lights out. Their bullpen is ridiculous. They're getting guys on, getting them over, getting them in. Any way they need to win a ballgame, they're doing it. And they're having fun when they're doing it, which is scary. You know, like they're having a lot of fun kicking everybody's, face in. And, I wouldn't want to be playing that team right now, and I can't see how anybody would sit there and look at them and not think they're going to be the favorite at this point.
Hey, before we let you go, David, you have any thoughts on this Joe West suspension? He's a guy I'm sure you had working behind the plate in a number of different games throughout your major league career, which we hope continues. Suspended 3 games for the comments about Adrian Beltre being the biggest whiner that he's ever had to deal with, but they were kind of made in jest, and he was asked it. It wasn't unprompted that he brought it up, but it was printed in USA Today, and he gets slapped with the 3-game suspension. What'd you think?
Well, I think, okay, if anybody watches Adrian Beltre hit, we all know that he's up there, and he questions every call. He even questions himself when he checks swings.
That's right.
So, like we know it's in jest. We know it's fun. He has a big smile on his face every day. Joe West, we all know he's not a great umpire. He just isn't. That's the plain facts of it. But just because he's not a good umpire and we don't like him for something else, that has nothing to do with this. There's no way in hell he should have been, you know, suspended for this, for making comments and having fun about just an on-field discussion with a player that we're celebrating. Like, let's celebrate them both. And I want to make baseball fun. I want baseball to have energy and people, fans loving it. But baseball's better when everybody on the field has personality. It just is. I want umpires to be nobodies, but it's more fun when they have personalities and as a fan. And so when an umpire actually shows you some personality, let's not punish them for that.
David, you have a great personality. We love it on the DA podcast. We need you to weigh in on a couple things that have been kind of troubling us today. You need to be the judge and jury. Firstly, the appropriate price to pay for dress shoes is what?
Wait, the appropriate what?
Price. For dress shoes. Like if you're if you need to buy some dress shoes, you're going to a wedding, what's too much to spend on dress shoes?
I'm looking at 125 is pushing it.
125. Now even okay, I'm yes. as conservative as it gets when it comes to these prices. 125, you can barely get a nice pair of running shoes. Really, dress shoes for 125?
I'm with David.
You're a millionaire professional athlete, David.
You got to look for sales. That's good value.
I'm not saying I don't have them, but I got it as a guest. I got it as a gift. I have a hard time spending my own money, but my wife seems to enjoy it.
Oh, it kind of sounds familiar to me. Thanks, pal. Yeah, because our producer, you're going to talk to him when you're done with us. JD is looking at 400 for dress shoes. Ooh. That's insane. Ooh.
Set him straight.
And by the way,
set him straight.
Yeah. By the way, not a millionaire professional athlete. Must say. Also, must
they
be.
They got to be crazy, crazy comfortable, and you got to wear them every day, and you got to earn. They got to earn that $400.
David, they're just brown. They're brown dress shoes.
But they're a nice shade of brown. Thanks, David.
They're not even. Oh
yeah.
Right, thank you, guys.